Hi, welcome to the Neojachuan podcast. This is Isaac. This is episode 8. In this one, we talk about Bruce's time in India. I talk a little bit about training at Anvil Ranch in the old days. And we continue our discussion on the standing and dissolving practice. We've also launched a Patreon, so if you're interested in that, you can check out a link on the website or in the description of the episode. Okay, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy. Picking up where we left off with opening the energy gates of your body. And right now we've come to the part of the foreword where we move on from Taiwan to experiences in India. Meditation as qi cultivation. So it looks like Kumar tells a story of his next chapter of his development where he went to India to learn meditation and qi practices there. At the start here it says, from the Taoism he had learned from Wang Shujin in Taiwan, Kumar knew that energy cultivation can be one of the basic methods of meditation. So meaning Qigong itself is a basic method of meditation. It's kind of what you use to build yourself up, build up your energy, your awareness, your sensitivity, so that then you have more success meditating.
It's like the training wheels for meditation, right? So it's not the quote, the spiritual work that you do, which I think is more what he was getting into when he went to India and later on. But it's the, you know, energetic background, if you will, so that you have the capacity to do long periods of sitting to deal with the stuff that comes up inside your body when you're sitting, you know, and doing meditation. So it's like, you know, it's the precursor, just like, you know, it's the precursor to fighting or anything else. It provides you the physical and energetic sort of, you know, stability to do whatever you want. So that, you know, we talked before about the pyramid, you know, of martial arts, qigong, and meditation, and I think, you know, they all provide their own, you know, specialty in terms of what they give to your system or, you know, your training. But, you know, he was clearly on a more, you know, spiritual path, I think, you know, than is necessary to learn energy gates.
Right.
Energy gates is a secular activity that uses a little bit of, you know, Taoist principles, but it, you know, you don't have to, you know, light candles and worship your ancestors to do qigong, you know.
So opening the energy gates serves as a foundational practice that you can then use to take into a number of different directions. So we've been saying that all along. There's a sense that using the basic tools of opening the energy gates, you build your physical alignments, you get in touch with your energy body, you start dissolving away some of the things that are stuck, and you make your body swing. You know, these are the things that lay the foundation for being able to do martial arts, but they also give you flexibility and pliability for sitting practice, or, you know, arm strength for tui na and medical purposes, you know.
Well,
so
anything.
It's such a great crossover.
You know,
it's a multi-purpose tool.
Right, I mean, Bruce talks about, you know, how a student who was a, you know, went on a mountain climbing trip and had never mountain climbed, you know, it's, you know, qigong is about getting your body to respond to your mind. So it doesn't matter what the activity is, if you tell your body to do something and it does it, that's going to make the activity, you know, easier, right?
Right, so it helps you learn. In my experiences, it's helped me learn other, you know, physical fitness exercises. I protect myself by keeping my knees straight. I move from, you know, from my dantian a little bit. I'm able to regulate my breath. So, you know, if I try something new, I'm at least capable for a little while in it. And I've found that to be really helpful. So, and the other sets in the system aren't necessarily as foundational. In other words, say something like bend the bow, where you're really working on the spine. I'd say that's a more specialized set.
For sure.
Opening the energy gates is, even from the title of the set, you're opening the doorway to the qi practices that are available, and this opening, then from there, there's different rooms you can enter, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's the jumping off point, in a sense, for, you know, whether it's meditation or martial arts or whatever activity it is you're...
So you kind of can't go wrong in a way. You're laying a foundation with standing and basic movement that...
I mean, it could even be the jumping off point for doing different kinds of qigong. I mean, you know,
sure.
It's just that the, you know, those fundamental pieces about being able to feel your body and to do these basic sort of scanning things and dissolving things are really just, you know, that's, you can apply that to literally any activity, you know, except maybe driving, you know, or something where you shouldn't have your eyes closed. But, you know. So
we looking at this chapter, we read about his experiences in India and how, you know, Indian energy methods are similar to Chinese. But there was one area I wanted to focus on, especially, there's a few sentences here. At the end, he talks about how Indian tradition values a guru and how important that is. Mm. As divine agents, gurus are treated with a deference and reverence that very few Westerners would accord to a living person. Though the Chinese tradition also accords a greater respect to teachers than one finds in the West, Taoist masters are considered to be more or less custodians of ancient wisdom. The relationship between student and teacher in the Taoist way is more like a respected friend helping a friend than a godlike master helping out a mere mortal. So the Indian tradition has a different approach to it than the Chinese tradition does in terms of training and energy work. But I like this thing about Taoists being on the same path and sort of friends together. And we've made a lot of friends over the years.
I think that's a fundamental difference in the culture, right? I mean, Hinduism in general has a lot of stuff about devotion, you know, as a method of practice, right? And you can be devoted to all sorts of things. Where Taoism is more about experience, and so, you know, the idea of a teacher in Taoism is more someone who's done it before, you know, that they've walked the road before you doesn't necessarily mean they're better than you.
Right.
It just means they've, you know, a few steps ahead of you.
And what's funny is some of the older people and mentors we've had over the years, I can see myself in the future, kind of, you know, that
sure.
Even say an elder, when I was in my 20s, I met an elderly teacher in his 80s, but I could tell we were both martial arts guys who love this stuff and love right. looking at old books and discussing the tech, you know, and just training together.
I mean, there's a kindred spirit,
yeah.
in a sense, to all martial artists have it, you know, where you, you know, you may not like the person, but you kind of respect them on that level.
For sure.
If you feel some sort of bond to them. I mean,
right.
I think that's one thing that Bruce, you know, in the introduction to the martial art book, you know, that he dedicates it to all martial artists, because it really is, you know, when it comes right down to it, people that do these sorts of practices, you know, are a very small percentage right. of the population. I mean, I think he used to say something about, you know, it's 10% of the population does martial arts, 1% of that 10% do internal martial arts, and then, you know, 10% of that are actually doing it well, you know. And so it's such a small percentage of people that really do this stuff that, you know, I think to look at it as something other than a community is kind of silly.
It's yeah.
A, you know, it,
we're all in this together, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's a natural tendency for humans to want to divide themselves, but I think something, you know, inherent as feeling your body is kind of a universal thing that, you know, all humans can kind of get behind.
I agree. There's something, I just like that sense of us all being on the same team that is in, you know, a lot of Taoist writings will emphasize that less hierarchical approach to life than maybe, say, a Confucian writing sure. would, for instance. But, you know, it's an interesting point worth taking. Yeah. And
I happen to agree with you.
I mean, and that brings me to the idea of, you know, training back in the old days when there was, you know, a pretty big community here in Northern California where you guys used to meet up on the retreats. And I never got to go to the Anvil Ranch retreat, but I always heard from a lot of people over the years what a good time you guys used to have and what a nice setting that was. But I was going to ask you to describe, say, leaving, crossing the Golden Gate and heading across into Northern Cal. What's the experience like going up to Anvil Ranch back in the day?
It was a long time ago, for one thing. It was probably 20 years since the last time I was there. But, you know, I think the main thing was there was a mixture of, you know, excitement and nervousness about going to spend a week doing Qigong or, you know, whatever it was. Because it's just a long time to give up on your regular daily life and go immerse yourself. I mean, when you think about guys like Bruce or some of these other, you know, old-timers who, you know, our friend Bob, who went to Asia and, you know, spent, you know, several years training with these different people and, you know, lived there, learned the language. I mean, that's a whole nother level of commitment that, like,
right.
you know, I mean, going, driving a couple hours, you know, north doesn't seem like that big a deal at that point, you know, but, it, you know, it's still that sense of putting yourself in a foreign environment where you're not totally, you know, comfortable and just saying, okay, for the next period of time, all I'm going to do is focus on learning this skill, you know. And it's like going to college or something, you know, like you stay, the reason people live on campus, right? It's like you have less distractions of, and ultimately, you know, the piece, you know, I think the difference in learning this stuff, you know, 100 years ago or something, is the number of distractions you would have had to take you away from your practice, you know. Like, we have all sorts of things that, you know, we have cell phones, we have, you know, email, blah, blah, fill in the blank. So, you know, there's a lot of other things going on in our brains besides, you know, work and, you know, feeding your family, right? So, so I think that adds a certain piece of, you know, so where meditation is really useful in that can take care of some of that, you know, chatter, if you will, that would then allow you to focus more on doing your martial arts or your qigong, you know. So I think it's a circle. You can go at it from any, you know, you could do the martial arts and the meditation to the qigong. You can do the qigong to the meditation to the martial arts. You know, however you do it, I mean, eventually you're going to hit these three different points on this triangle. It's sort of just, you know, a personal journey in terms of how you develop. I mean,
right. At different times, you might have different interests and different things are available, so you end up
stuff. I knew lots of people who, you know, would come in at the same time. You know, I can think of two friends in particular, and, you know, when they joined, they were sort of on the same level in terms of what they wanted to learn, but one went much more towards martial arts and the other went towards meditation, you know. And it's just because, like, they're, you know, they changed as people and they just developed in different ways. And I think that's part of what, you know, a quote-unquote living art is about, is that it's not just written in stone in terms of what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. It develops. And then I think, you know, when you do these sort of longer trainings where you're immersed in it, those type of things begin to become clearer to you than, you know, if you're just doing it for an hour a week or something.
Totally. Like that. So yeah, getting out in that environment is always a nice way to
just focus. You know, yeah, it just takes away, you know, if, you know, to be brass about it. It takes away a lot of the bullshit of, you know, just what daily life is, and you're able to just focus on the training, you know, which is kind of nice. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, historically people that did, you know, qigong, you know, go to mountains and, you know, go into the countryside or join monasteries and things like that, because it gives you a, you know, an opportunity to be removed from, you know, daily life and stress and stuff.
Yeah, I like that rural setting for doing martial arts and qigong. Yeah. It just strikes me well. And I like the hot weather in the summer up there, and like the oak leaves and the madrone leaves. It's
it was a real
mountainous territory. Pretty steep out there.
It's a lovely place. I mean, you know, and there's also, you know, aspects of, you know, doing these practices in nature allows you to feel what the thing is. I mean, if you're by water and you're trying to practice something that's supposed to feel like water, it makes it a little bit easier. You know?
We'll splash in a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just whatever. It's just you absorb it sort of by osmosis, you know, so the ocean, for example, is a great place to practice because you're right next to the biggest life form on the planet, and you can, you know, you may not be able to pick up much depending on your level of sensitivity, but, you know, you'll get something. It's there.
There's a lot of life there, a lot of chi there.
And Taoists, you know, historically have always tried to, you know, do things in the elements as much as possible. So I think that's just part of the training. But, you know, that just as many of them did this stuff, I think, in urban settings. You know, Bruce's last teacher, you know, did most of his training in Beijing. And, you know, even in those days, I mean, Beijing was anything but
urban.
Quiet, yeah, it was quite urban, so.
All right, and moving on back to the book. Where are we at?
So on to the next section of opening the energy gates here. Lesson three is the chi dissolving process. And I think dissolving is one of the, probably the standout techniques of this whole process and the whole set.
I would say it's the signature, you know, technique of that set, you know.
It could be the signature technique of the system.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's the secret, you know, formula for this particular, you know, system, and that, you know, without it, it isn't, you know, much. It's just a bunch of movements.
It stands out because most schools don't emphasize it as much. I think everybody's got a sense of letting go or a sense of softness in most internal qi martial arts and qigong schools, but I think this school, this method, it's really, you know, in out front, blatant, how would you say?
Right. Well, I think specific. What sets it apart is its level of detail in how you do this particular thing. So almost all schools will talk about, you know, dropping, feeling relaxed, letting go in some sort of vague manner, but they don't really give you, in a sense, a roadmap in terms of how to do that. You know, and the dissolving process is sort of, it's the tool by which you get to things like relaxation. So, you know, it's the, you know, if you think in terms of, you think you want to relax, is the beginning of the thing, and then relaxing is the end of it, but there's something in the middle, you know, and the something in the middle, the how-to, if you will, is the dissolving. So rather than leaving it up to you to spend, you know, 5-10 years figuring out how to make the jump from thinking about relaxing to actually relaxing, he gives you this specific roadmap. So, you know, this piece about going from feeling something to relaxing it to letting it go, you know, that last piece about going beyond just a sense of physical relaxation, I think is what, you know, really sets it apart.
So the first instruction here is dissolve blocked energy, ice to water, water to gas. As before, beginning at the crown of your head, notice where you have any feelings of strength, tension, something not being quite right, any general uneasiness, or any sense of contraction. These feelings may be physical, energetic, emotional, or mental.
Right, so it's the same sequence as the scanning process, just with a different technique applied to it. The same way you can later apply other techniques to that same sequence, you know.
The first level of this is that there's something tense, there's something that's not quite right somewhere in your body. That is what we call ice.
Yes. That is a blockage.
So a blockage. Now, is this, you know, just thinking about it, to me, a blockage is where I'm holding myself physically and then I notice I'm sort of got my shoulder lifted ever so slightly. So then I sort of let go of those muscles, and those muscles were unconsciously holding themselves in a pattern that didn't need to happen.
I mean, there are different kinds of blockages. There are yin blockages. What you described is more of a yang blockage. I think the main thing is that it doesn't matter what the blockage is, the process is still the same, right? So Bruce always would say, you know, if you're dirty and, you know, you're covered in poop and you want to clean yourself off, do you care what kind of poop you're covered in, right? And it's, you know, you can spend the time and analyze all the things that are wrong with you, and, you know, that's a way to spend your time. But this is much more about, doesn't matter what the feeling is, what the blockage is from, it's just let it go, you know. And I think that goes to that piece about the things you can't identify, the feelings you don't know, you know, that you don't have words for, that you don't have experience with, those are the things that, you know, how do you deal with something that you can't explain or you can't describe? Well, you dissolve it. You use this other way of, if you will, thinking or being to let go of that piece. So it's like one way of getting through a blockage is to think your way through it. One way of getting through a blockage is to push your way through it, right? To energetically or physically make, you know, if that shoulder is stuck, just fucking push on it as hard as you can till it, you know, breaks loose.
And then it's unstuck.
Well, it's unstuck. It might also, you know, cause some other part of your body to dislocate, but, you know, that thing is unstuck now. But the whole method of this, you know, the water method, is that you're trying to do all of that by that being releasing, by letting go, by dissolving and opening up. And so, you know, it's this sort of yin thing of, you're not trying to push yourself to relax or make yourself stretch. You're allowing yourself to stretch and essentially just waiting for your body to give you the okay to do a particular thing. And so rather than stretching or putting yourself in a position and then trying to relax, it's you relax until you can get into that position, right? And you know, so this whole emphasis on dissolving is to kind of give you the tool to do that, right? To go from tension to relaxation to, you know, emptiness or whatever you want to call it.
So that brings us to dissolving, the transformation of ice to water to gas. So he says here, once you have identified a place where your energy is blocked or frozen, your awareness begins to feel the contours of this frozen energy space. Right.
So stage one is feel it.
Then he says, your awareness then begins to penetrate the solid mass, causing the frozen energy to begin to soften.
That's relaxing.
So he calls this the transformation of ice to water.
Right, and that's what most people experience as going from your muscles are clenched to your body feels comfortable, right? But the third one...
Once the entire frozen space in your body becomes soft, you keep your attention on that place and your awareness continues to cause that water space to expand until there is a sense of the trapped energy expanding out beyond your body, perhaps as much as a foot or two outside its surface.
Right, and that's the release. And so it's this process of feeling something, relaxing it, and just letting it go. And, you know, it's that last part, I think, is where one is what sets it apart from a lot of other practices, but it's also the part that's the most difficult, because you have to go through this process of kind of giving up on any sense of, you know, feeling, you know, strong or feeling relaxed. It just goes into this, you know, emptiness, this sort of gas, you know, this amorphous feeling of, I like to call it gush, but, you know, you just feel comfortable in it.
So the final piece of that is, the human energy field takes negative energy that is leaving the body and recycles it back into the body as neutral energy that the body can then adapt for its needs. So that's that feeling of, as something dissolves, it leaves you, and then out there in the world outside, it recycles and comes back to you as energy, you know, from the outside world.
If you believe in these sorts of things, right. I mean, that's happening all the time anyway. All you're doing here is enhancing the process.
Enabling it, perhaps.
Well, giving it a little boost.
Right, because if there's places in your body that are stuck, they're not properly circulating this energy, theoretically. By opening that up, you get a net gain of energy, even though it's not like you're...
And the more unified your system is, in a sense, the fewer gaps there are for these things to hide, right? These places for things to get stuck where you can't identify it.
So I believe that's what, you know, we consider the, you know, the dissolving process. It's as simple as these three words. But at the same time, those words are actually feelings that are taking place inside you on a physical level.
Right, which can take, you know, days, months, weeks, years, who knows how long. You know, any particular part of your body could take, you know, it could happen almost instantly. It could happen, in, you know, very slowly. There's nowhere to tell. And so... Again, it's just that's the water part of it, right? The water doesn't care how long it takes to drip through the rock. It's just going to keep dripping and dripping and dripping and dripping until it gets through the rock. And even when it gets through it, it's still going to keep dripping and dripping and dripping and dripping. And it's just, you're the same the day you were before as you were the day after. It's just you know, now you know what things are without as much, you know, fluff on top.
Right, things are clearer now.
Yeah.
But they're still the same as they were.
And it's the same with your body. It's like, for a long time, you know, before anything changes, all you're really doing is going, wow, I can feel this better than I used to, and I can feel that better than I used to. And then slowly but surely, so it's not like you go ice to water, water to gas with every piece. It's like, more like over years, your whole system goes from ice to water to water to gas. So, you know, ultimately your whole system is living in that place of being relaxed and released. But, you know, that you're talking, you know, 50, 60 years of practice probably. So it's sort of a micro, it can be a microcosm thing of, you know, one little part, your elbow, you can relax it and release it and it'll feel better. But also how that works into the whole system is, you know, this sort of unification process that goes on. So there's the big and the little, and the little and the big, and they kind of feed each other back and forth, and, you know, sort of just this process of feeling things on a very small level, you know, and then not even noticing maybe the big changes, but, you know, they're happening. So you don't notice it inside because you're in it, you know, it's like the frog in the water that's slowly boiling, you know, where other people on the outside will notice these changes in you much more dramatically because they're, you know, not in day to day. So, you know, that's sort of, you know, the cumulative effect of it, where it's like a, you know, Bruce would say the snowball effect, that, you know, you don't necessarily notice that as it goes down, it's getting more and more, but it is. It's so, you know, the more you stand, the better you get at standing, you know. And it's just like, you won't feel that you're getting better at it, but you'll find yourself standing for longer periods of time without as much effort.
So the last little piece in this section really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. The process of ice to water to gas is more than just a relaxation technique. Relaxation does not necessarily result in more energy, energy that can heal the body. Also, it is possible to relax the muscles and leave emotional blockages untouched. Energetic release affects you on all levels of being.
Right. I think that's that piece about you can feel physically relaxed and still be mentally tense, or, you know, quote-unquote, energetically tense. That was one of the questions somebody asked him when he was on the Donahue show.
Oh, yeah.
It was about, you know, how people can be, you know, physically healthy, flexible, relaxed on the outside and still be internally bound up on the inside. And that, you know, that's the sort of, if you will, the silent killer, right? If it is
heart disease,
it's the stress on the inside of your body. And so that's one of the things I think these practices are, you know, looking to achieve, is that you develop an awareness of, you know, the inside of your body. And so, you know, the dissolving process is sort of the method by which you do, or a method by which you do that.
And, you know, theoretically, by working with your inner self and feeling your inner self and relaxing on the inside, you can catch up to some of the hypertension and constriction and tightness that might be contributing to your overall organ health or your inner body.
Sure.
In a lot of different ways.
You know, I don't think it's by any means a cure-all.
Sure.
But I think it, if nothing else, will give you a little bit of an early warning to when things aren't going right.
And trust your sensations more.
Yeah, as opposed to waiting till they actually go wrong. You know, and so that level of awareness is really a, you know, a preventative tool, you know, when it comes to your body, too.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the final sentence here, energetic release affects you on all levels of being. That's pretty profound. I'm not the most spiritual person, but it does seem like when you're doing standing dissolving and you've gone over the same spot a number of times, and after a while it's starting to feel way softer and way less tense. You can also feel that in your mind sometimes, where you're constricted by thoughts, those clouds are soaring by, and then you take a break.
Whoa.
And you suddenly find yourself feeling like,
sure,
in the moment way more, you know?
You can also just take it on a, you know, sort of really basic level, in terms of, you know, if somebody's punching you in the face, you're going to be in a bad mood. If they stop punching you in the face, your mood's going to improve. And so it's like, you know, part of this thing of when you take away some of that pain, even if it's just a little bit of that physical pain that you live with, you know, because you got a bad knee or bad hip or, you know, bad back, that's going to improve your whole life. You know, maybe not much, maybe just a tiny little bit, but it will do that, you know. And so I think that's kind of, you know, just a more pragmatic way of looking at it. Sure, it may also make you, you know, a tiny bit more spiritual or less likely to yell at your kids, but, you know, that's a nice benefit too.
Every little bit counts.
Yep, sure does. All right.
Talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Hi, folks. It's Isaac again. Just want to remind you to like and subscribe and check out our Patreon, and you can get some exclusive content. All right. Take care.